Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 5th of February. A new Kauffman Foundation U.S. Census Bureau study reports that startup companies are a major contributor to job creation. While business startups decline slightly in most of the cyclical downturns, startups remain robust even in the most severe recession over a sample period. Job growth is essential for our economy to rebound, and this study shows that new firms have been an important source of new jobs in the United States. This hour of our program, Rick Tarian is joining us, Executive Director of the Iowa County Area Economic Development Corporation, a man who knows a great deal about startups. His successes, have been featured in the Chicago Tribune, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Madison Cap Times. He holds 9 U.S. and foreign patents, is a 2-time winner of the New Product of the Year Award for the Professional Engineers of Wisconsin, and has been named significant contributor to environmental excellence. In 2005, he received the prestigious U.S. Small Business New Product of the Year Award from the National Society of Professional Engineers. He has taken this job rather recently, became executive director of the organization, its first executive director, in May of 2008. This is the region's newest economic development corporation. We'll be welcoming phone calls about startup businesses, and I'm particularly interested in hearing from those of you who have done just that. There is news that a lot of baby boomers have left corporations or been laid off from major corporations and started their dream companies. How do you go about doing that? Is it a way for stimulating the economy as well? Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 is the number for you to join our conversation. Rick, we thank you so much for being with us today. Hi.
Kathleen, good morning.
Yes, good morning to you. You've said that this is the Renaissance age of entrepreneurship, and it is just beginning. A lot of people would think it is. How so?
It is hard to sound optimistic with the headlines that are going on. But many of us listening right now have lived through a number of these, 70s, 80s, 90s. It's been a train wreck each time, and yet we come out of them. And I'm going to posit that there are tools on the table now that were just unavailable to us even a decade or more ago that are basically free right now. And this is a time where you can wire yourself into the economy on a very, very small scale with a modest amount of money.
Hmm. So what are those tools?
Oh, well, the big gorilla is the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
We ran our last business spread out all over. I had a small number of employees, but I had them in different states. And we basically all worked from our home, although we had one manufacturing facility. But we did business in China and Africa and all over the United States, Europe, and it was as easy as turning on the computer in the morning.
Mm-hmm. And what was that business?
We did, that was a industrial fluid recycling business. I'm in deep, great honor to say that Harley-Davidson was one of our very first customers. They let me come in and make a number of mistakes in their plant, and we got it right, and we worked for a lot of the large major world corporations, mostly in heavy manufacturing, Caterpillars and John Deere and all the car companies.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, I had worked in a commercial art business. There's opportunities laying around.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that this is a time, I've read that a number of people who've been laid off from jobs, it seems as though jobs at major corporations, major companies are a little bit more tenuous than they used to be some years ago. Are you seeing a lot of people, baby boomers, who might be approaching retirement, who have been laid off or have just decided, hey, I don't have all that many years left in the workplace. I'm going to start my own business, or fulfilling their dreams or wanting to fulfill their dream jobs?
You're spot on. That is the biggest demographic. And what's really wonderful about it is they're coming out into the world with things that they love, not that they need to do.
Mm.
They focus on that. So it's not just creating yet another job for yourself. It's focusing on what you love and how you can make that kind of contribution. It's pretty empowering.
And I wonder if that's something that should guide us, even if we're just entering the workforce. Can we, in this economy, pursue those things that we love.
People come to me all the time and ask, well, you know, I've been researching this niche or this market, and I think if I get this many things, I can get this percent, and on and on. And I just hold my hand up. I say, stop. Tell me what you love. Tell me what you love. You're going to have to live with it late at night, long weekends, bad cash flow, troubling phone calls. You better love it. But not only that, it really drives you to make that contribution, and that's what makes these things sustainable.
So tell me about the Iowa County Area Economic Development Corporation. Are you there to make people's dreams happen?
That would be a big picture way of saying that. Sure, and I think that whole region, and certainly our entire state, I mean, what a gift to the rest of the country we are. Yes, making those dreams happen, and I think doing it, people are promised, when they think of businesses and startups, they think of Donald Trump, or maybe the other end is Tony Soprano. And, you know, the world isn't like that. You know, it's like that on TV, but the rest of it is our parents and our peers, and it takes one foot in front of the other. You just have to get those steps right. And so, yes, in Iowa County, that is a role that they've gifted me with, to help people start their own enterprises and to do that region-wide as well.
And what about, we hear so much about a green economy and a stimulus bill that will work for a green economy. Is that where startup businesses are likely to be most successful and where they're most needed right now, or is it in some other sector, Rick?
I would strongly say that that's where we're not only going, we have to go, and it's where all of the opportunities are. Back when I was talking about helping people start up, it's not just what you love, but it has to solve a problem. And if you write on a big whiteboard all the problems we have, most of them have come from unsustainable practices out in the in our economy. And no, we did it to ourselves. It was a big party. But we have to fix those problems. And I think it is the green jobs, the green economy that's going to emerge, and it's going to be based around solving problems. And people say, you know, well, I'm not sure what to do. You know, if you can't see problems out there, then you're not looking hard enough.
Right.
So, yes, it is that green economy. Absolutely.
Give me a little more sense of the kinds of companies you've started, your first entrepreneur area.
Well, my own, I look for things that nobody else wants to do and that solve a problem. That's not only smart, it's easier because you don't face a lot of competition. You're not in mature markets. There was a book written a couple years ago called The Blue Oceans, and what you want to do is create, you don't want to swim in the pond with the sharks and there's a lot of blood in the water. You want to create new markets, new innovations, things that people hadn't thought of before, and operate in those for as long as you can. Our first business, we started, it sounds archaic when I talk about it now, but it was a graphic arts business that focused on making banners, and we started this back in the 70s when you had to go to sign painters, and it was very expensive and time-consuming and expensive, and we figured out a way to basically crank them out. And and within short order, we were doing all the banners for all the United Ways in the country. And
oh, arts, my gosh.
Cancer and Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, FFA. And we did almost all the colleges in the United States. We were shipping Kiwanis pancake breakfast banners into Paramaribo, Suriname during a revolution.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it was just fun, and it lasted 25 years. We started that business with the change in a jug on our dresser. And it was really fun, but by the 90s, computers had taken all of that over, and, you know, any 13-year-old could do it now, and it just became a game of who could buy the biggest, fastest computer. So I looked for something else nobody else wanted to do, and that was get oil all over them all day long.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So some of it is just having, well, a lot of it is having a creative mind, right?
I think that's not something, I don't want to make that sound as though it's a barrier. I'm no more gifted in that than anybody else. It's just a matter, I think it's more persistence, showing up, looking at things a little differently perhaps to find where those problems are and how you might contribute a solution.
And working hard.
Yep. Yep.
Showing up,
and a lot of it's coming out of the arts, the knowledge workers. I mean, that we were talking about the green economy. I think a lot of it's going to come out of the arts businesses. I think of a woman I helped become a dear friend down in Greene County in Monticello. She's an artist, went to do some volunteer work at a at an Alzheimer's facility, was going to do some arts, you know, interactions with those folks. Couldn't find any materials or anything appropriate on site. You know, those people are under duress, the people helping her. So she decided to start a business based on what she loved, and that was her art. And she started creating small kits that were skills appropriate, cognitive appropriate, that these folks could open up and create these wonderful, not just, you know, cardboard and construction paper stuff, but I mean, beautiful little pieces of art. And this, and the great story around this, there's one woman in the facility who hadn't spoken in 3 years. The staff said, nope, she can't do that. She can't participate. She don't bother. And this woman watched this happen a couple times. The third time, my friend Pat went in there. She sat down at the table. Then this woman came up and sat down, made one of these art pieces, looked up at Pat and said, I never knew I was an artist.
Oh, my gosh.
She hadn't
what
spoken
a story.
In 3 years.
Oh.
So the I think the arts are and knowledge work are where these are coming from. And down in Iowa County, we're just blessed with that. We've got Mineral Point and the great Shake Right.
Yes. Right.
So the whole region.
Art. Right. Do you need seed money? Do you need some family member, perhaps, to say, I support you on this venture. I got a little more money than you do. I'll give you some. How do you get started financially?
Well, the answer is, of course, all over the spectrum with this. And I don't, there are some kinds that are appropriate to, you know, full-blown venture capital fundraising, and there's nothing wrong with those. But most of those startups aren't available to the rest of us, especially if you haven't been through that process. The direct answer to your question, it's more of a time scale. I wouldn't start these. I never recommend starting these to get out of an immediate mess. You know, you have to realize that this is going to take a while. That's actually part of the gift of this thing, is that you can take a while and make your mistakes inexpensively, because you will make them. I still do continuously when I start these things. If you don't throw a lot of money at this right up, you can make some mistakes and not put yourself out of business. If you do start borrowing money, the precipice can be fast and deep. So I would start them small.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that concept of slow foods?
Yes.
I call it the slow startup movement. Same thing. You find ingredients that you love. You cook it up slowly. You do it for your own empowerment, for the betterment of the community, to nourish the community, to nourish yourself, and enjoy the journey. Those are the best startups.
Oh, that sounds like the way to live. Our guest this hour is Rick Therrien, Executive Director of the Iowa County Area Economic Development Corporation. We thought we've spent so much time talking about the economic downturn and the huge numbers of people who are losing their jobs. How about an alternative here? How about how to make your dreams come true, starting a small business, and the belief that this is, as our guest says, the Renaissance age of entrepreneurship, and it's just beginning. He loves starting and growing businesses. If you have thought that there's something you've always wanted to do and you want suggestions on how to make that happen for you, is this the answer to a green economy and to a stimulus, actually, that it very much becomes smaller startup businesses, maybe just you all over the country? Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We have one line open for you. If you'd like to join us, take that line right now. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rick Therrien is our guest this hour, Executive Director of the Iowa County Area Economic Development Corporation. And he says that he'd like to help you organize and grow your business with maximum efficiency at the least cost. He is the Executive Director of Iowa County's first economic development corporation, and it's immediately west of Madison. So let's go to your phone calls, 800-486-8655. Terry from North Lake is our first caller. Hi, Terry.
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
I am here. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go right ahead.
Great. Very exciting. My story, three years ago, I moved to Wisconsin, which is where I grew up. Moved back from California and had the dream to fulfill continuing my professional art career and opened a small art gallery and brought in local artists, and this is all in consignment, so I kept my costs down, and then saw a huge turn. The business was getting off ground, which was my first big official business adventure, and it was getting off ground, and then the gas prices went up, and then all these different factors started happening, and I saw it as I can either become a casualty as I was viewing other businesses closing, or I could research what could be a niche and respond to the economy, basically the old have lemons make lemonade thing.
Right.
And I chose to take the consignment to another level of it now, including a upscale ladies' consignment store within the gallery space, and keeping gallery art, scaling it down a bit in quantity, bringing in higher-end clothing, and again, on consignment, and then including artistically made clothing and jewelry. So that's where I am marrying the two concepts. And this was fulfilling my dream. I've worked in concert with the library across the street, so it's in holding events. So we've become a community entity.
Wonderful.
And it's exciting. I anticipate opening the consignment part of it on March 15th.
Hmm.
And I guess I didn't realize that I did this. It was sort of subconscious and wanting to respond to the economy, but it seems right on target to what's needed to be done now in small business, keeping the costs down, adding to the community. And I got my fingers crossed it's going to, I feel very confident it's going to work.
Yeah, you sound confident. Rick, this is a great story.
Congratulations, Terry. It sounds wonderful. And here's a perfect example of solving problems, community focus, doing what you love, and you can just hear it in Terry's voice.
Right.
And I think it's so important, too, to be flexible or respond. Stay positive. Everything is so negative in typical news reports on the big stations. And I guess there's a little bit of a fighter in me of I don't want to cooperate with what they're telling me I should be doing because it's so darn negative. And just turning it around, finding a positive.
Did you have startup money available to you, Terry, when you got the store?
Well, a little unique is that I bought an interesting building as a residence. So I have residence upstairs.
Oh.
And then the lower level is facing a main thoroughfare, as well as I'm directly across the street from the community library. So the lower level, I'd always thought, well, this is perfect. This can be the retail part of it. So I had thought it even a step further in my expenses.
Right.
And I guess in answer to your question, it was basically a divorce that was the catalyst that moved me from California. But with those funds from that, basically it's my life. I am involving my savings, but mm-hmm. it's also the investment of a house.
Mm-hmm. That's a great story to start us off, Rick.
Well, congratulations, Terry. You've inspired all of us.
Right. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Chris from Milwaukee next. Hi, Chris.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Thanks for having me on. Basically, I wanted to ask Rick something that would be along the lines of investment versus bank loan. We're a startup company that actually started up about 7 years ago, and it's based here in Milwaukee. We provide Wi-Fi service to independent cafes, and that's our main target demographic. We also concentrate on smaller chains and basically get in there to provide a quality service to end users, their customers. And we concentrate on the branding, being able to help people, being able to help the cafe owners attract new people and build a reliable customer base. But the problem we find is we have to get our prices so low to get our service in that we kind of beat ourselves up sometimes. But once the service is in there and we perform, the owner sees that it's a quality service and very reliable. So it helps them to build on that. We are having problems finding funding, though. We put together a business plan, and we're going to angel investors, and we've contemplating looking for bank loans. If Rick could basically talk a little bit about that and what the difference between the two and
sure.
where he sees that type of market going.
Okay.
I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Chris. I think I'd like to take an opportunity right off so I don't miss this opportunity over in your area, Kathleen. There is the what I consider to be the micro-entrepreneurship center for the entire state of Wisconsin is at Waukesha County Technical College.
Okay.
WCTC has what they call a small business center. It's run by Russ Roberts. I'm actually on their advisory board, and they focus very, very carefully on this level of business, and from startups right through where Chris is right now, and you can learn a lot very inexpensively there. The state has a whole system of small business development centers, which are quite good, but the one that really focuses on micro-entrepreneurs is at WCTC, and I recommend Chris introduce himself to those folks. They have regular meetings. There is a micro-entrepreneur expo on April 1st this year.
Great.
And there are ways to connect to smaller-scale angels through those kind of events as well. But to get to the specific question, it is a brutal environment for investment and certainly for bank loans right now, and I have no magic bullet for that. If you take a bank loan, that clock is continuously ticking, and you have to make those payments or you're out of business.
Mm-hmm.
You take the investment, you've got partners, and that can be excellent, and it can be troubling, and everything in between. And those kind of investments come with expectations from the investors that you have to be transparent in both directions, and everybody has to know in advance and agree with it. So investors are generally looking for their exit strategy. How do they get their money out? It can be a perilous path. I've done that, and I've gone other paths as well, and neither is good or bad, but you just have to keep your eyes wide open. I would try to get out to the Micro Entrepreneurship Center at the Small Business Center at WCTC and introduce yourself and check out their resources. It's a wonderful place.
Yeah, it's a great suggestion. What are angel investors, Rick?
It's short of straight-out venture capitals. Venture capitals are organized funds that are meant to take companies that are in early-stage development and try to propel them into much greater stages of development. It's not for the startups. The startups need money from just infusions of capital to get them ready, to get them up to that level where they may or may not want to go into the venture level. So it would be well-heeled, moneyed folk.
Mm-hmm.
They are organizing themselves. Thankfully, it's an emerging group where there are groups of angels, and we have an angel network in Wisconsin that's robust. There's some in the north, there's some in the south, there's some in our Driftless area, a number around Madison and Milwaukee, of course, and your M7 counties there, Kathleen.
Mm-hmm.
And they will look at companies that are really just sometimes not even started yet, and you can present to them. They have organized meetings where you can come in and do presentations, and they look at lower levels of development, is basically the way that's said. Mm. It's the stage above asking your friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's generally the first stage, friends and family. Next stage would be an angel investors. Next stage, with some variations, would be into the world of venture.
I see. Thank you very much, Chris, for your call. Let's go to Marguerite from Viroqua. Hi.
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 Go ahead. Hi.
I live in Viroqua, and I watch Main Street. And some people go out of business, and some people come back into business. And I call it the power of Main Street, to watch how creative people just appear, you know, and take over a store and start this brand-new business. And downturn or upturn, it seems like it's always cycling.
Yes, yes. And Viroqua, along with those of us out in Iowa County, this is the Driftless area. Many people come from Europe and say that it looks like the foothills of the Alps. It's just spectacularly beautiful. And you live in one of the best of those places. It is the creative people that will continue to drive those. I think that is our asset. Kathleen, a great guest. You didn't ask for an open line from me, but a great guest would be Professor Phil Lewis, he's retired from the university, wrote a great book called Tomorrow by Design. And it's basically the concept is, this gentleman is one of my absolute life heroes. He pioneered the concept of Circle City, and it's Milwaukee, Chicago, the Quad Cities, maybe Des Moines, up to the Twin Cities, and across Wausau, Stevens Point to Green Bay and down the coast, where this driftless area in the center is protected and nurtured, and you know, it's not just the commerce goes one direction, but it goes both ways. That he would be a fabulous guest, and there is it's the blueprint for the next economy for this region, basically.
Oh, great.
And it's very, very empowering, and that's where I want to start this Wisconsin School of Craft, is in this whole region, and up. That'll give me an excuse to go up to Viroqua and see Marguerite.
And look at what's going on in Main Street.
Yeah, right? It's fabulous. One of my best friends is the economic development director there, and Sue Noble, and they're doing a great job in that county.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, this is a good suggestion. I like your open line. It's not an open line, but we'll find that. We'll find that book and that guest. Thanks, Marguerite, for the call. Dr. Suresh is next from Milwaukee. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, this is a great show, and I just wanted to share my small level of success in doing exactly what you guys are talking about.
Great.
Ours is the greatest country on earth in spite of all the problems and all the little things what we hear about, negative things. But I tell you, one thing we have to remember, that still we set the leadership tone to the rest of the world, and we have to think positively. And I tell you, I came to this country about 28 years ago with $20 in my pocket.
Oh my.
And a dream. And I worked for large corporations, and about 12 years ago, I finally was able to start a business in a very, very small scale. And still it is small, but I'm growing, and I'm able to employ 7 people. I'm able to provide for 7 families, and we are growing, and we're enjoying what we do. And always I believe that you can be small, but you can be better than big corporations in the niche what you do. And we are now selling products all over the world. Okay. We mainly make bacteria. We make cultures for the food industry. We make cultures for sausage, for cheese, for wine, probiotic cultures, and we are just able to now with the power of internet and without spending too much money in marketing and advertising, we are able to sell to places where we normally buy stuff from, like we are exporting to China and India, and I'm very happy that we are able to do that, and I just wanted to share my small, limited success with whatever we are doing.
It's not small or limited, Dr. Suresh. It's empowering for all of us. Congratulations.
It sure is. Arriving with $20 in your pocket, it's hard to imagine that, Rick.
There's the story.
Yeah, there's the story. Thanks very much. I think we got to spend just a few more minutes on the internet and how the internet has changed in a positive way the possibility to succeed at a startup. How?
Well, you go back, I'll take, back to the Pleistocene era, back to the 80s or so. It would be very, very difficult for Dr. Suresh or I to talk to people in China and India, let alone Philadelphia and Miami.
Mm-hmm.
You would be printing stuff out. And it would cost you a lot of money, and it would cost you a lot to mail, and it would be hard to track. And the follow-up communication, the shipping was difficult. All of it was difficult. And right now, you can go on and get a website for $5 a month with unlimited storage. You could put multiple volumes of encyclopedias and anything else you care to throw in the thing, and it's just laying there. It's free. Some of them are less than $5 a month now. You don't need dancing bears and Grateful Dead music on your website. You just need a way to communicate. Doesn't even necessarily need to do e-commerce. You just need to be able to reach out. Then your marketing is, a lot of folks try to get the top result on Google, and they spend lots of money on this, that kind of thing. I'm a little old school in this, is I think you get your website up, you have a creative name for your company and your website, and then it's your job to reach out, and there you go back to the internet question. You can reach out by email. It doesn't cost anything.
Right.
All I can do is say no.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring them, you invite them to your home on the web. And if you've got something that you can partner with them, you can solve a problem, they can see the love you've got for what you're doing in there, boom, on to the next one.
Boom, there you go. You're off and rolling.
Yep.
And what about the people who need, like I'm thinking of myself here, you would need a certain set of skills to be able to access all of that. Some of the places you've mentioned would offer courses in how to access the Internet?
Oh, sure. Yes. And I think that's one way that we can bring a lot of our young people into this discussion, too. Those folks can do this stuff in their sleep.
Right.
So, you know, if here I am as a boomer at 55, and I'm not necessarily all that great at doing X or Y or Z on the Internet, there's plenty of folks down at the high schools that you talk to, the business teachers, that they could line them up with you. Right. Or you can learn it yourself. It isn't that hard. If you try to do exotic brand new things every day and stay up with the bleeding edge of, you know, all of this, then that's a different question. But to, just to get yourself on to the Internet and, you know, sending email, this is, raising kids and taking care of your parents is a lot harder than that.
Nikki is next from Nina. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Kathleen and your guest. Good morning. My friend and I have put together a women's roller derby league, and we're having a hard time finding sponsors, especially with the economy as it is. Well, we've got a few sponsors, and it's been wonderful, but it's been hard to try to gather some money from that. And making sure that we're also advertising is been kind of difficult, too, making sure that, you know, we do all the avenues. And I don't know, it's been kind of fun, but it's also been kind of crazy.
What a cool idea. A resource that you might want to look at that I when I teach this stuff that I did through WCTC for a while, there's a long series of books on the guerrilla marketing. They're in the libraries. It's free, low-cost, clever ways to get noticed, to do advertising. The sponsorship—that's a different, little bit of a different kettle of fish. But I think you would be inspired by that book to take some new approaches to looking for the sponsors as well. Sometimes it's, you know, thinking. When your brain tells you to turn left, you say, "Well, let's go see what happens when we turn right here and get some going non-traditional ways."
Okay. Yeah, because we definitely have been doing a lot of the traditional with newspapers and internet, let's see, radio and all that kind of stuff. But,
check out those guerrilla marketing books. I believe the last name is Levinson, Levinson. They're quite good, and there's a series of them, and some have even been written focused on very specific industries as well, but the mother of them is the guerrilla marketing itself.
Very okay. Cool. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, sure. You're welcome. Good luck with it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. Let's go to Kate from Eau Claire next. Hi, Kate.
Hello. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I have a question. A friend and I are working on a startup company, small business, and it's in solar technology, putting solar panels in commercial businesses on roofs and things to help lower their costs.
Great.
We're having trouble raising funds at this point in time, obviously, with the economy, and we would like strategies for how we can go about raising funds. We've talked to the SBA, and they haven't been very helpful with this. So I would like to listen to your suggestions and get off the air and just kind of be the radio listener again.
But before you leave, what county are you in?
I'm in Eau Claire County.
In Eau Claire County, okay. I would say that there is an economic development corporation for Eau Claire County that's quite good. I'd introduce myself to those folks as soon as possible. Get on their radar. They know the sources, the local sources. At this county, this is why I was so attracted by this county job, is it's rubber meets the road stuff. They know the players. They know the bankers. They know the local regional investors.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good asset. The SBA... bless them, is a big federal organization, and they're just, you know, there's a few of them and a lot of us. Getting down closer to the, moving down the food chain to where the rubber's meeting the road at the county level would be a good idea. I see that in Iowa County all the time.
And what a great business to be starting right now.
Oh, my goodness. There we go to the beginning of the conversation. Yep.
Right. Yeah, solar panels. Let's welcome more phone calls. And we have one line open right now if you'd like to take it. Rick Tyrion is our guest. He's the executive director of the Iowa County Area Economic Development Corporation. We've spent a great deal of time talking about the horrible economy and the reasons for it, job losses, et cetera. What about figuring out how to start your own business and whether or not this is a good time? The consensus of the hour is that it may be a good time to do what you've always dreamed to do. And our guest is here to help you figure out how to do that. And you can also tout your own success stories, like arriving some years ago with $20 in your pocket from another country and being a successful entrepreneur. 800-486-8655 is the number. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second of our program this Thursday, the author of The Well-Dressed Ape, A Natural History of Myself. Our guest casts the inquisitive eye of a trained researcher and a reporter on herself, on human beings, and not just on herself, but on our whole species, what Shakespeare called the paragon of animals. It's a lovely book. It looks at the human animal, the well-dressed ape, and how it fits into the natural world, even as we change that world in both constructive and destructive ways. So that's coming up, hour number two. Let's go back to phone calls for Rick, 800-486-8655. We go to Virginia from Green Bay. Next. Hi, Virginia.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi. This is really one of my favorite topics of all time.
Great.
I believe that people can use their skills, the skills they already have, to perhaps start what I can consider to be solo. They can become solo practitioners, and you don't really need startup money. You're just using your own skills. And in the reason I called was that I had started my now it's been full-time writing business in 1982 during an economic downturn. And I noticed and noted throughout the 80s there were many, many women who actually did this. I was looking for a job writing and couldn't actually find one and ended up looking for assignments to fill in and so forth and became really so addicted to being independent and not working for someone else that, you know, I pretty much did what it took. I got a business advisor who helped channel me into areas that I was really good at and discovered those things. I ended up really for the past 20 years or so as a ghostwriter, editor, and then also writing my own books too. But it is possible, and that now I'm actually coaching people to do this too. So your guest, I was really interested in things that your guest has been saying, and I think it's just a perfect time. I think sometimes we really need to get things kind of shaken up, and people to say I didn't like that job anyway, you know. So why am I looking for another one? And I think it's possible. I think many people think it isn't possible to write full time and make an actual living at it, but if people are willing to learn different skills and learn to do, like I had to learn to do different kinds of writing along the way these many years now, and once you get started with it, it's like I wouldn't consider giving it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's become, you know, really important. It is location dependent. Many of people's, if people are using their own skills, they often find that they can really move where they want to be, and use these skills, especially now. I don't work with clients here much in Green Bay. Most people I work with are all over the country in other places, and I've written books for and with people who I have never met in person. And so it's really, I mean, there are many ways to actually go about doing this, and I think this is one of the best times, even though it seems like it could be one of the worst. I agree with your guest. I think it's one of the best times.
Mm-hmm. What a wonderful story, Rick.
Virginia, thank you. And Kathleen, there's your renaissance age of entrepreneurship.
Exactly.
And the Internet. And it was something Virginia said that struck me as being able to move to a place that you really want to live.
Mm-hmm.
And if we did this in our parents' time, you would be leaving hospitals behind. You'd be leaving, you know, all kinds of services. And you can go, and especially in Wisconsin, you can go to any kind of landscape. You look at Iowa County, we've got a brand new hospital. It's state-of-the-art. We're one of the two healthiest counties in the state of Wisconsin. And it's exceedingly beautiful and rural, and I shouldn't even be telling people.
We're all going to be out there this weekend to take a look, huh?
Oh,
it sounds great.
Please, but, and to come out there, and I look at our artists in Mineral Point and the Shake Rag area there, and also the larger businesses. We've got Land's End strategically right in the middle on that corridor.
Right.
It's a magic time to pick the place you love.
Mm. Thanks, Virginia, so much for the
Thank
call.
You,
Mike is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Well, good morning. I got two questions. One, 8 out of 10 startup businesses fail. And if you happen to be an investor, which I am, treasury notes are paying nothing. And startup businesses are an interesting idea. Do you have a contact resource for me that I could contact in order to get a foothold on this subject? Number two, if I wanted to start up a nonprofit tax-free entity, you have a resource that helps people to get to do the legal stuff and avoid the high cost of legal fees.
Mike, where are you from? I didn't hear that.
I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay. I will take the chance to toot the horn for that micro-enterprise center over there, for both of your questions. If you want to get at small businesses, emerging small businesses, WCTC is a wonderful resource. That small business center there collects them, nurtures them, picks them up, dusts them off. Russ does a fabulous job of that. And also you can find resources through that center, and I'm picking that one because it's closest to you, but I also think it's maybe among the very best in the state. You can find resources that they would lead you to help with organizing a nonprofit.
Thank you, sir.
You're most welcome. Best of luck.
Thanks, Mike, so much for your call. We go next to Kurt from La Crosse. Hi, Kurt.
Yes, hi. Good morning.
Hi.
Morning, Kurt.
Thanks again, Kathleen, for the wonderful program, and Rick, also kudos to you for getting on to the air as well, too. What I'm looking for is I'm a small business here in La Crosse, Wisconsin. I own a sign company, and I basically work out of the home. So I'm looking at kind of expanding, and what I would like to do is my majority of my business is getting into a lot of the smaller startup and the startup businesses that are out there. What are some of the resources that I could use to go to those places and find those startup businesses?
Well, in your case, over in La Crosse, you've got a very good small business development center at UW La Crosse. It's a fertile ground for people doing startups there, and I'll use this time to talk about the entrepreneur and inventor clubs. Terry Whipple started these in Juneau County, and most of the counties have them now. It's a safe, quiet place for people who want to start businesses and entrepreneurs or small businesses who want to grow them to come together and kind of work these things out with their peers. And often there's a small-scale commercial aspect to them, is you just letting your nearby neighbors know what you do, and often it's expensive to do that in other ways. So in your case, at La Crosse, is a very good small business development center, and I believe they run their entrepreneur and inventor club out of there. That would surely be a place to find where those folks are gathering.
Okay, great. Also, one other thing as well, too. There's another book that I'm reading. It's called Duct Tape Marketing.
I love that. John
Jan. Isn't it awesome? I just can't get enough of it every day.
The piece that I took away from that is marketing is getting people to know, like, and trust you.
Yeah.
It's no more complicated than that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a definite read beside the guerrilla marketing, that's
yep,
for sure.
Yep.
So.
Those two are on my shelf. I'm looking at them.
All right.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thanks, Kurt, for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Tim from Dodgeville. Hello, Tim.
Hi. I run bicycle tours primarily in the southwest part of the state, and I just want to
put a plug in for being for people being environmentally responsible and using sustainable practices as much as possible.
And it's not just wearing a hair shirt to do that. That's the way the planet's going to go forward. That's the way our economy is going to go forward.
Yeah.
And certainly bicycle tours in that region of all kinds. You can tie in bicycle tours to mining tours, to arts tours.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost endless.
Business is good, Tim?
There are some challenges, but there's more interest in getting out and doing things is what we see.
Right, and in the state probably, too. Not
right,
as many
absolutely.
Trips elsewhere. Great. Right. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
We go to Bob next from Rice Lake. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Kathleen. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning,
Rick,
Bob.
I got to ask you, my wife got roped into one of these MLM deals that sells some kind of health drink or whatever under the guise of, quote-unquote, it's your own small business. Rick, I would like your thoughts on this whole... To me, it just, you know... It doesn't pass my smell test, but thank God the whole world doesn't look at things the way I do. I just want your thoughts on it as to whether it is, in fact, a scam or if there's actual virtue in it. And I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
I'm a big believer in smell tests.
Mm-hmm.
You have to approach these external motivators in the economy with a just a great deal of caution. And I can't speak to that specific one, but I have seen darn few that have ended up with the entrepreneur coming out ahead. I do not recommend those. I recommend taking something that you love yourself and working it up from there.
Right. Thanks very much. Dawn from Iron Ridge. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
Another couple, my husband and I and another couple, just opened a small business. And what we do is we run a pet expo, and it's a really unique pet expo where people can come with their dog and spend the day and try lots of different canine sports, agility and horsing. And we set up a 32-foot-long pool, and we have dock jumping.
Oh, where is this? I got to go to that. This sounds great.
In Washington County. It's the Washington County Pet Expo.
Okay.
And it's in September. Uh-huh. And this is the second year that we've tried this format where people bring their dogs, and it's just a whole bunch of fun. But I have two questions. Our first question is how to get the biggest bang for our in advertising. You know, we tried radio last year and some newspaper advertising and internet and billboards. And it's just really hard to find out where the people are getting the information from. And so that's my first question. You know, how do we do that? And then my second question is, we know, you know, what our Pet Expo is all about, and when you try to advertise it and try to explain what it's all about, I just wonder if people are receiving the information that in the way that we want them to. And if there's a place that we can go or, you know, someone that we can ask if we're getting the information out the way that we want it to be, if people are understanding it the way we want it to be.
Right.
Sure. And on that second question, I'm going to try to answer it, but people get PhDs in that stuff. But the first part is how to get the biggest bang for the buck. That sounds like traditional roots and good for you. First of all, I was sighing along with Kathleen when I heard how cool this is.
Doesn't that sound great?
Yeah, what a great idea.
Exactly.
I would go to the pet stores. I'd go to the folks, the pet food warehouses. You can strike mutually beneficial agreements with those folks. Small scale, you know, not you don't have to lawyer the thing up, but it's in their interest to build a pet communities as well,
sure.
A healthy, sustainable pet communities, surely. But how you find out your advertising is working? A great quote from a ad exec that you know, I know that 50% of my advertising is working. I just don't know which 50%.
Yeah. Well, people love dogs, and they're still spending a lot of money on dogs. Couldn't you go to local television stations, too, and get some, you know, there's nothing better than a picture of a dog learning how to swim or involved in the swimming thing.
Right.
I would think you could get a news piece on it.
Well, in small-scale enterprise like this, everybody wants these stories. Everybody wants to do sustainable regional
mm-hmm.
economics now.
Mm-hmm.
I think of where you have a transmitter site, Kathleen, out in Highland,
mm-hmm.
Wisconsin. There is the best pie in the state of Wisconsin.
Oh, my gosh.
And now,
did you have to say that? The best pie in the state.
Up there in Osseo. But you go to Highland, Wisconsin, they have the best pie in the place. Grandma's, no less. So, you know, we could start pie smackdowns, you know, statewide pie fights.
Oh, you go to chocolate cake and I'll be off the air. I'll go find
there
it now. Thanks. Thank you, Rick, so much. What a great hour. It was okay. It was fun and informative. Thank you. And
my
you
pleasure.
Also gave a suggestion for future shows. So
great. Thank you
we're
so
on
much.
It. Thank you. Rick Therrien, Executive Director of the Iowa County Area Economic Development Corporation. If you're in a startup and you're in that area, go see him. And as he said, there are places all over the state of Wisconsin that will help you. WCTC also highly recommended with your startup of small business, which may be the thing to do in a time of a bad recession. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour. Thanks to John Treader for on-air production in our Milwaukee studios. And, of course, thanks for your enthusiastic phone calls, as always. News coming up will return on the Ideas Network.